Some other common errors that are common to both mergers and conversions. If a party to the merger or conversion is a Texas limited partnership, you need to make sure that the general partner that is stated in your execution block is the same general partner that shows up in the Secretary of State's records. Limited partnership filings are one of the few where we make sure that the person who signs is the general partner that we have on file. If that's changed and you didn't update our office, you need to file a certificate of amendment updating the general partner information before you submit the merger. Remember that LLPs are not entity types. So Sarah discussed this a little bit in the primer on Wednesday, but an LLP is just an optional registration that is made by a pre-existing limited partnership or general partnership. It is not an entity in and of itself. So when you're submitting a document to our office, if it states that a Texas LLP is converting to a Texas LLC, that's going to get rejected. Instead, you could say a Texas general partnership registered as a limited liability partnership is converting to a Texas LLC, okay? So you need to make sure that you're identifying the underlying partnership and not just saying it's an LLP. If you are going to have a delayed effectiveness provision in your merger or conversion, please make sure it's consistent between your plan of merger and or conversion and then the actual certificate. A lot of times, the effectiveness provisions are not consistent between the plan and the certificate. And then just check for any other unclear or inconsistent language that might cause some rejection. Delayed effectiveness issues. So, as previously noted, the delayed effectiveness of an instrument can provide for the simultaneous effectiveness of filings across across different jurisdictions. It can permit you to submit a document for filing before it's actually effective so that if there's any issues that are going to lead to rejection, you can address those before you actually need the document to be effective. It also provides an opportunity to abandon the document before it becomes effective if you're concerned that a deal might fall through. But if you're going to use a delayed effectiveness provision, be aware that the furthest in the future that it can be effective is 90 days from the date of signing. That's not 90 days from the date of filing or from the date of effectiveness. It's 90 days from the date of signing. There's also restrictions on the way the delayed effective time can be stated. It cannot be 12 a.m. or 12 p.m., midnight, or noon. And then be aware that all delayed effective dates and times are recorded in Central Standard Time. So if you have a multi-jurisdictional document and you just state the delayed effective time as 11:59 p.m., well, that's going to be a different day if it's filed in Delaware than if it's filed in Texas. So make sure that you're aware of the time zones in which you're filing. It's important to note that even when you have a delayed effectiveness provision in your document, our records are updated as soon as we process that document. So if you have a termination that has a delayed effective date a month from now, as soon as we process that termination, our records are going to show that the entity was terminated. And if you order a certificate of status, then that certificate is going to note that the entity status is terminated, even though the legal effect may not take place for another month. So that's just something to be aware of if you're going to have a delayed effective provision. As Daryl talked about a little bit yesterday, SB 1859, which was recently passed in the last legislative session, did provide for some additional delayed effectiveness options, specifically with respect to it being delayed upon the occurrence of a future event or fact. And so this slide provides what your current options are. From the perspective of the filing office, this change doesn't have a whole lot of effect on what you'll see. There may be some minor changes to the language in our certificates or in our forms, but the certificates of filing are going to look the same. If you have a delayed effective date, that date is going to be listed on your certificate of filing. Same thing if you have a delayed effective date and time. If you have a delayed effective, if your document is delayed upon the occurrence of a future event or fact, the certificate of filing is still going to say effective condition, and you would have to go look at the actual filing document to determine what that condition was. But the bottom line is there's not going to be a change in the way our certificates look.